Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group, and we are here to engage, connect, empower, transform. We speak truth to power by engaging, connecting, empowering, and transforming the lives of veterans, active and retired, along with their family members through information, resources, and referrals. The America's Heroes Group is sponsored proudly by East Lake Management and Development Corporation at 2850 South Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60616. The office number is 312-842-5500. Also, America's Heroes Group, proudly sponsored by attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman, LLP, at 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free number is 888-837-3275. The office is 312-781-1977. Well, as usual, we have a lot to talk about, and we are on iHeartRadio. All you need to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet and take us with you wherever. You can go to WVON.com, and, of course, you can call us at 773-591-1690. We have our regular group here. Well, not all of them. We have them one way or another. They're on the way.
They're in motion.
Yes, they're in motion. Our web social media producer, Manico Rosari, doing a great job.
As always,
right,
every week.
Right. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. How are you, Glenda?
I'm blessed. How's everyone?
Good, good, good.
Great.
Our roundtable panelist. Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold is not with us, but he's on our live line. Doc, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. Thank you so much for being with us. I won't ask you where you are. Okay.
I'm doing my regular work and this work.
I got
this
you.
Is more important.
Thank you. Thank you so much. The consular attorney Ernesto Borges is on the way. Uh-huh. We know that. And Rochelle Crump is here in the studio, the founder and president of the National Women's Veterans United. How are you?
President accounted for, sir.
Very good. And, of course, Sean Claiborne is with us. Hey, Sean.
How you doing?
Good, good. We want to start off with Sean because he's done something. Today, a lot of people don't know, is Wreaths Across America. Each December on National Wreath Across America Day, our mission to remember, honor, and teach is carried out by coordinating wreath-laying ceremonies at Arlington National Cemetery, as well at more than 1,400 additional locations in all U.S. 50 U.S. states at sea and abroad. And Sean was at one of those wreath layings. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah, it was wonderful. I was at the Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery this morning. So a group of us got on a bus, rented a charter bus, and 50 of us put wreaths down on the fallen soldiers and veterans that have served our country. So everyone from Merchant Marine to Navy, Army, Marines, everyone, every service was represented. And the nice thing about it is that they also represented the spouses of service members that have fallen. So we laid wreaths down, and it was a beautiful sight. It was really beautiful to see everybody
that's
there.
That's great. That's wonderful.
That
where,
is nice.
Where is the cemetery? Abraham?
It's by Joliet. By Joliet.
By Joliet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you went. Did you tell everybody you were the America's Heroes Group?
They're probably listening right now.
That's great. That's wonderful. I'm glad you went. That's great. And the consular is here. Ernesto, how are you, sir?
That's great.
Good.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm tuned in.
I'm sorry. You know, I got stuck behind a train. Well, not behind a train, but the gates went down.
That's all right. You
and
called.
I had to wait, but I made it.
We knew you were. Yeah, you made it. Yeah. Don't ever try to outrun the train.
No, you know, I started to, and I said, no, I better not.
Don't.
I think I was more worried about getting a ticket than getting hit by the train.
That's right. Don't try to outrun the train.
A little bit.
I hate when they do that because they're teaching the children bad, you know.
Yeah. To go around.
Yeah. No, I waited like a good driver.
No, you did the right thing. And you're not late anyway.
Yeah. I'm here.
That's right. Well, we have a number of things to discuss, as always. The VA secretary gave inaccurate answers on a pro-Confederate tie speech that he made during his confirmation process. This is sort of interesting. Veteran Affairs Secretary Robert Wilkie gave inaccurate answers to senators during his confirmation process about pro-Confederate speeches he delivered in 2009.
So this is an update from last week.
Yes. Right. So you want to talk about that?
Well, we're just updating to see what's been said lately.
Okay.
We have a clip from CNN.
Jefferson Davis, the first and only president of the Confederate States, has received fulsome praise from Donald Trump's new Veterans Affairs Secretary, Robert Wilkie. Wilkie calling the Confederate leader a martyr to the lost cause and an exceptional man in an exceptional age. The age, of course, of slavery and civil war. Secretary Wilkie made his comments during a 1995 speech commemorating Davis's birthday in front of a statue of the leader at the U.S. Capitol.
He actually links, which at that time was 1995, he links Davis's values with the fight that Republicans are actually having in Congress. So it's pretty clear that this is a person who thought very, very highly of Jefferson Davis.
CNN's K-File investigative team obtained a transcript first published by the United Daughters of the Confederacy, who sponsored the event. Reporting shows it was one of several Confederate memorial ceremonies Wilkie attended throughout his career.
These speeches are the first time that we've gotten a look at what Wilkie has actually said at the events, and it shows he was pretty sympathetic to the Southern cause in the Civil War.
As for slavery, Wilkie declared, "I'm no apologist for the South," adding, "To view our history and the ferocity of the Confederate soldier solely through the lens of slavery and by the slovenly standards of the present is dishonest and a disservice to our ancestors."
We asked the VA for comment about these events earlier in the week. They did not comment on the nature of the content of his speeches, but they did say that these were historical speeches and that he stopped attending the events once they became divisive in nature.
The VA's words mirror Wilkie's own response when asked about pro-Confederate events at his confirmation hearing earlier this year.
Those events in those days were big events. Participation by Senate and House members. I stopped doing many of those things at a time when that issue became divisive.
We think
he meant divisive, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, okay. Whatever. According to what we have here, Wilkie gave at a 2009 official Arlington Cemetery event to which President Obama sent a wreath recognizing the service of Confederate veterans. If that's true, I didn't know about it, and I don't know why the hell he would do that.
No.
Well, we just give an update.
And when hasn't slavery been divisive or divisive, however you want to pronounce it?
Right.
I mean, it's always been that
way.
It's the war to secede from the Union.
Yeah.
So it's been.
We should thank the Germans in the
all
day.
These
yeah,
many
I mean,
years.
My
I mean,
goodness.
He says, well, I stopped when it became divisive.
Yeah.
Please. Mm-hmm. It's always been divisive.
I don't know whether this, what we have here, if President Obama sent a wreath recognizing the service of Confederate veterans, I got to follow that up.
Yeah, I got to. Yeah,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, but then Confederate soldiers aren't even recognized as veterans. They're actually, they receive veterans benefits because of the law that was passed back in the 60s or 50s. But they are not recognized as military veterans by the definition.
Yeah.
They receive benefits from when?
They still can get medical benefits, but now they're all
veterans
by
from
now.
The Civil War.
Right, I mean, there was an amendment passed during the 50s and 60s.
After in the 1800s, you're saying?
No. There was actually an amendment that allowed survivors of the Confederacy
really?
To get
Confederate
medical
soldiers?
Benefits.
Soldiers to get benefits. Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. Mm-hmm.
America's
but
Heroes.
But they were not considered veterans still. Some people debate about that topic. It's important because people debate and say that the Confederates are considered veterans. Mm-hmm. And some vets try to claim vet status, but they don't get vet status. They just get benefits, particularly medical benefits.
Okay, another update that we have is the Justice Department asked the Supreme Court to let transgender military ban take effect. So they're moving forward with banning that bill. So that's another update that we reported on earlier this month.
The Justice Department has asked the Supreme Court to allow the ban on transgender people in the military to go into effect pending appeal. The administration already has a pending request for the Supreme Court to bypass the lower courts and take up a case concerning the ban, which has been blocked by lower courts.
Mm-hmm. So are they talking about banning other people? They're transgender people in the military already. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So what, they want to discharge them and also ban? I'm in favor of transgender joining the military,
yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
I have still have a problem with combat.
You got what?
I still have a problem with combat.
Right. I mean, it's complicated.
It gets a little complicated.
Right, it does get complicated. Because somebody has to take medication and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, remember when I was in the military, I got written up because I gave myself a haircut, destruction of military property, as they called it.
Yeah. Article 13.
Article 13.
Article 13, yeah.
So if you got to get surgery.
I've seen men break down in combat. Mm-hmm. I mean, just break down, throw the weapon down, cry. It gets pretty hairy, and if somebody doesn't know what
got hairy, which is why he cut his hair.
Good one, Cliff.
Taking hormones too. I don't know.
Listen, if you're on the line and you're in Atlanta Fire, I wouldn't give a damn if you were transgender, gay, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got, if we're fighting on the same team and we're covering each other,
and you're qualified,
we sure in the hell know women are great in combat. Mm-hmm. You know
what I mean? I understand, that's true, but like when you're in the trenches, when you're an enlisted person in the trenches, it's not just about the thing about, I always say this: becoming a soldier, especially being on the front line, is a burden. It's an honor, but it's a burden. You know what I'm saying? So when you go to take that burden on, you have to look at what that person has to go through to do that task every single day.
Yeah, well, when people get drafted, they don't care about that a lot of times. You know, folks who don't want to be there in the first place, that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference in people who have been drafted and people who are enlistees of their own.
I agree, definitely.
Yeah, that's great.
And then age factor, too. We have a lot of younger veterans that are serving also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, there's a lot of fear there with younger people.
Yeah.
But you know what? When I concern myself, when I look at some of these gatherings, I don't see enough black soldiers joining, of us joining the military.
Mm-hmm.
And I am concerned about that. Mm-hmm. But we can talk about that on another show.
Okay.
But,
The Senate sends a major overhaul of veterans health care to Trump. The Senate gave final passage on Wednesday to a multi-billion dollar revamp of the veterans health care system, consolidating 7 Veterans Affairs Department health programs into one and making it far easier for veterans to take their benefits to private doctors for care. The legislation passed 92-5 and also expands popular stipends to family caregivers of veterans who served during the Vietnam War era or after, and it establishes a 9-member commission to study the department's current infrastructure to determine where its health system should expand and contract. That's a good thing.
Dr. Arnold, what's your opinion?
Yes, Dr. Arnold, absolutely.
Yeah, the things that people need to do to, first of all, when I start looking at the health benefits and what's going on, is that the things that were promised to veterans, are not being upheld, even when these medical problems are arising out of combat situations or arising from service connection. And for veterans have to fight at home for benefits that should be automatically granted to them, I just, have a very big problem with that. And you've heard of veterans, fighting for 1 or 2 decades to get recognition of, any kind of service connection to begin with. And then to be turned down for just general health care as well. And then we have this big problem. I guess we're going to be talking about it in some degree. There's some degree about the Affordable Care Act and what the Republicans have just done to that. It's a travesty that we've gone overseas to fight for a nation to make it healthier and stronger and more powerful and to be the leading nation in the world, to have a group of people who don't believe in science and don't believe in health care for everyone lead the way is just absolutely criminal.
Yeah. Well, according to this, the bill rounds out an ambitious legislative agenda on veterans issues that had bridged the administrations of both President Obama and Trump and largely united moderates in both parties who set out to make major changes to the department after a 2014 scandal over the manipulation of data on patient wait times. You know, we've talked about that many times.
Can I say something, Cliff?
Sure.
Because I did talk to my brother
Wednesday.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he was in lockdown.
Tell us who
his name is Clinton Greenstone.
Yeah, right.
But he is in charge of the 168 clinics in the country.
Great.
As to the care, the choice mm-hmm. care. So he had been on lockdown for the last 3 days. I talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he would like to come on in January.
Great.
Because there's a huge, huge monumental overhaul that mm-hmm. has occurred, and it is getting ready to go into place, and it deals with the 30 miles and the 30 days or the 40 miles and all that. All that's been changed. He couldn't tell me all the details. They're going to make the announcement in January,
mm-hmm.
but it is going to be a huge, huge overhaul. It's going to be a great benefit to all veterans, and so that they won't have to meet some of these requirements that they have to meet right now. Mm-hmm. It's I think it was a $75 billion add-on or something, but he's going to come on in January as soon as they make the announcement and tell us how this is all going to be implemented.
That's great. He said he's already signed laws, that Trump has signed laws that make it easier for the department to remove and fire employees and for veterans to appeal benefit decisions as well as as a rewrite of the GI Bill for post-9/11 veterans. So that's a big change, that's for sure. So the other thing we want to discuss, Trump commits to a $750 billion defense budget.
Sean?
So in September, the budget was actually passed and signed by Congress, and Trump signed the bill into law. It was a $716 billion budget at the time. But then Secretary of Defense General Mattis with the Republican coalition, came to the president and said, hey, we want to up this. We want to get this to a higher amount. Because in their eyes, anything less than $733 billion would not be sufficient to maintain military strength. So they approved. It's not official. It's not a finite number as of yet. But the cap now has been moved from $716 billion to $750 billion for the defense budget. And this is strictly for defense. So once this, once the final numbers come in, then we'll see what exactly that includes. Now, typically, the defense budget increases between 3 to 5%. That's historical numbers. $716 billion is an increase from $700 billion from this year, though this particular budget is kind of strange because there was a big push to try and actually reduce the budget for defense, an actual mandatory across-the-board cut of 5% across all federal agencies. So there's a lot of people that are unhappy by the fact that they're increasing the budget from $716 billion, which is already over budget from the previous accounts, to $750 billion. There was an act, actually, it was passed called the Budget Control Act of 2011. It was under the Obama administration, which mandated a 5% budget cost across the board. Now, we spend more in defense budget with the $700 billion that we have this year than all of the 8 leading nations in the world to date. So if you combine the budget, the entire defense budget of Russia and China combined, we more than double that budget with our annual budget in any given year.
Wow.
You can actually add the budget, the defense budget of China, Saudi Arabia, Russia, India, France, United Kingdom, Japan, and most often Germany. And we still spend more money than all those countries combined just on defense.
But why? Why do we feel the need to do it every year?
Because what's been happening.
Police. Most people we're the point police to the, of the world.
Right. And most people point to the military.
Yeah. Trump said it was crazy in a tweet.
Right.
Until he met with his people, and they said, "Yeah, we need to do this." Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, now when we come back, we're going to take a call or two, and also we're going to be talking to a guest. Stay with us. This is America's Heroes Group. We'll be back with more right after this.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
America, sweet.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared toward veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, veteran and host of America's Heroes Group. Eastlake Management staff proudly extends our best wishes to our veterans, armed forces, and their family members during this holiday season. We honor their relentless courage and sacrifice for our country and its citizens. We are proud of our employees who are U.S. veterans and appreciate their strength and commitment they bring to Eastlake Organization. Eastlake Management, founded in 1983, is dedicated to delivering affordable, comfortable housing to the residents at the properties we manage. Happy holidays from Eastlake.
If you're looking for a local sports show that represents us,
that stays true to the culture and serves up the real,
then it's time to rock with the big.
Sundays at 11.
We'll give you an authentic look into the Chicago sports scene
and bring you closer to your favorite teams and players than you've ever been.
So turn off that noise
and see what the game's been missing.
Listen to the bigs with me, Terrence Tomlin,
and me, Eugene McIntosh.
Sunday nights at 11 on the Talk of Chicago,
1690 WVON.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
WVON.com. The website. Check it out.
Now, time, it is 4:33, and we are on iHeartRadio. This is America's Heroes Group. I'm Cliff Kelly, and we have our group here. And before we go to our guest, I want to take a caller who's been holding. Greg, thank you for holding. You're on the Talk of Chicago, America's Heroes Group.
Hello?
Hey, Greg, go right ahead.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make a comment on the ban on transgender in the Marine in the military.
Okay, go right ahead.
I think that I think transgender should not be allowed in the military because I'm a Marine and I'm a big man, 6'5", 300 pounds, and I know how strenuous it was on me in certain situations, and I would not want to have a female who wants to be a male in a situation with me where I know that she can't handle the physical challenge that we face. And it's just naturally, it's a natural thing that men are physically stronger than women, and we can probably take more physical challenges than a woman. And I'm not trying to be chauvinistic.
No, I understand that. I think it depends on what your MOS is and what you're doing.
That's right.
A man can take a bullet shot by a woman. That's no different. That happens. So, you know, physical strength in the Army nowadays, and the military, I should say, is not always what determines who wins. And I think I want to ask Rochelle about that. What do you think about that, Rochelle?
Well, I think
you've
been
a lot of women in combat.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen over and over again the way these women actually are moving forward in all of these prestigious positions
right.
where they have earned their way up.
That's
and
right.
they didn't earn their way up just by saying that they wanted to be there. They had to demonstrate their ability, their agility, in order to be able to carry out that task. So, you know, just like you said, it's not necessarily about woman versus man strength, because some men are not as big as you are, sir. However, you know what happens? A lot of those women, they train for that, and they study the art of being strong. So you can't just, you know, eliminate them just by old ways of saying that women are not as strong as men.
And the last person who came out of West Point, the person who was ahead of all the troops was a woman out of West Point. But I got your point, and a lot of people, I'm sure, agree with you. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. We are pleased to have in our studio a gentleman that is so great to be with us. Bob Carnegie is with us, and he's currently the local first. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. It's a joy to be here again.
Currently the local coordinator. You know, you've got so many things. So why don't you just tell us, Bob, what the important things are?
Sure.
By the time I talk
all
the things you are doing and have done, we won't have time to talk about why you're here.
I think
thanks for coming back, by the way.
It's just a great opportunity, and thank you. I think the most poignant part about some of the things I participate in is the fact that I'm the commander of the DAV Chapter 17 in Hammond. And that services veterans both in Indiana and Illinois, because we're one block off of the state line, and
right.
so it's easy for both sides to come to our meetings. And the point of our meeting is to get veterans to come to it and understand how they can get help through the DAV to sign up for veteran benefits. And so, excuse me, each meeting has multiple service officers in attendance that help the veteran community start the process of getting connected and reaching out to see what their potential is for achieving veteran benefits. And then we continue to work on multiple projects in the Northwest Indiana area that help veterans or assist veterans that are falling through the cracks. And that's fundamentally what our mission is in life. And the DAV, of course, is built on a local chapter like we are, and then a state organization, and then a national organization. And we are extremely active here in this community. This particular month, as we prepare for Christmas, which can be a challenge for some families, we have families in our membership that don't have the wherewithal to take care of Christmas for their families. We've been able to help some of them. We're contacted by the National Guard in our area that the call I got one day was one of our troops doesn't have the money to put coats and boots on their five children. And it was 28 degrees that day. And I said, I think we need to do this.
That's meaningful.
Today.
That's right.
And so I was able to do some things and went shopping and called the sergeant back and said, where are you? And he had called me in the morning. I said, where are you? I said, this is where I'm at, and I've got five coats and five pair of boots in my car for you.
That's great. And you were in, if I remember, in Vietnam for what, 13 months, right?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, and you got a Bronze Star.
I did.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
and the your little write-up here on Agent Orange is near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it behooved me to understand how I, in Saigon, am exposed to Agent Orange because it's a dust.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys that are 5 miles off the coast in a ship can't qualify for the same thing. Did the dust mm-hmm. stop at the water, or did the dust blow mm-hmm. over the water to the ship? And we all know that it blew over the water to the ship.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because we were, Bob, because that failed to pass the Senate.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things.
Navy veterans who might have been exposed, and you just explained why they could have been, it failed to pass the Senate. So hopefully, well, they'll reintroduce it, I hope.
Sure.
But I'm sure, because as you said, they were exposed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when I went to file my claim, the service officer said, well, you know, when did you serve and where, et cetera,
yeah.
et cetera.
Sure.
And I told him when I was in Vietnam, and that's when they were spraying Agent Orange. So he said, we got to apply for that, you know, because what are your illnesses? And three of them that I have directly are on that list.
Mm-hmm.
It was a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to him, though, I was never anywhere where they were spraying Agent Orange.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it doesn't matter. You had boots on the ground while that was taking place. It's a powder. It's a dust. It has no barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was how it was explained to me when I had no clue. And so how that can't be consistent to help these folks that were in the Navy just begs reality. I mean, they were exposed in exactly the same manner. So let's get the Senate woken and understand
right.
what's
mm-hmm.
going on. And I'll tell you something else
mm-hmm.
I learned.
Mm-hmm.
In the last election, which took place a month, 2 months ago, there were over 150 veterans that ran for office.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. And
yeah.
that was a tidbit I picked up in listening yeah. to the TV that night when the results okay. were coming in.
In the last election, 150.
Yes, and mm-hmm. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Because
yeah.
that's something we've been missing in this country for multiple years,
mm-hmm.
and we need to get these folks who have had successful careers in the military and understand the plight of the veteran to get involved with the making the laws of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the other thing that I feel very strongly about, if we look back at our history and look at what happened after World War I, what happened after World War II, this country rode the backs of those veterans to grow and flourish and recover from terrible events that took place to this country. And we did it on the back of the veteran community.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened a bit after Vietnam. It wasn't the same kind of a war. It happened a bit after Korea. Again, not the same. But this long term that's happening in the Middle East, there's going to be millions of people that have served over there eventually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that generation needs to step up and take their place in the veteran community and take their place in the public eye of this country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly agree with that. Dr. Arnold?
Yes. You know, and it's really interesting. I mean,
yeah, I know you
the
would
comments
think.
That,
mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
Yeah, many comments that he made were really interesting because, you know, as far as the sailors were concerned, you know, it's not just the area where you apply the Agent Orange, but the equipment that gets contaminated as well. So anyone transporting equipment, coming in contact with equipment, coming in contact potentially with body bags, anyone who would be exposed to that agent, because the agent doesn't just dissolve, it doesn't just dissipate. It, you know, stay
yeah.
on top of things. That's because it's a defoliating agent. That's why it's stuck on the trees and took the leaves off the trees, you know, so that you have more a possibility of seeing things through the field. That's what the purpose of it was.
And the interesting thing is you don't have to be real bright, Doc, to understand why they were using it anyway. It was to kill all of the foliage. I mean, anything just going to do that.
I have Doctor, one of my friends from the DAV told me his story where he was in the Air Force and he didn't think he was in a situation that put him in harm's way. Mm-hmm. And now, years later, he finds out that his exposure to Agent Orange has caused several things to happen to his body. And he then will reflect that they would go to the Tonsonoid Air Base to pick up packages and things like that. And timeliness wasn't always the air carrier's forte during those times, so they'd have to wait. And he said we'd be at the end of the runway, maybe an hour or two to kill. We'd look around, and we were sitting in brown grass.
Wow.
And he'd say,
brown grass.
Yeah. How can this – look over on the other side of that fence. It's a jungle, and we're sitting in brown grass. And they said, we had no idea how that could possibly happen. Wow. We know now.
That's right.
What bothers me the most is this just reminds me of my tenure when I worked for the Department of Veterans Affairs. And when we first started getting the claims for the Agent Orange and how we just stacked those claims up and they just grew and they just grew from claims because they had not yet completed their studies and everything. And this did not get settled until a great number of them had died from all of those illnesses. And then all of a sudden the studies start coming up to be positive for all of the ailments that these veterans were dying of. So you would think in this time that we would have learned other things and how to actually produce a very fair process to help our veterans, but it does not seem like that is happening.
Well, I think for a while it did, but it stopped. It stopped when they got to this particular problem, hoping they could keep it kind of in a cage.
This points out the point that, you know, for people who are still in the military now and those commanders who are out there, you know, to be respectful of their unit members and the people who are serving under them, make sure that the line of duty statements are filled out properly, make sure the medical forms are filled out properly when they go back, come back in from combat duty. And then also the people, you know, I'm a physician myself, so I've gone to the VA where I sat down and spoken to people who were supposed to be evaluating, who were, you know, more on the federal level, that were doing, disability evaluations, and they never touched me, never asked me the right questions, because I know the questions should be, I'm a physician, they did not know I was a physician. And they just passed it through, and I So we have to have some culpability, and, you know, some of these are not veterans themselves. These are people who are being hired as independent contractors, to have them be brought up to speed on what a proper exam is and what a competent physician should be doing.
Excellent point.
I can only echo that. And some of the experiences I went through, I was called to see a specialist for some things that I had going on by the VA to make sure that what my claim was accurate. And in walked Doogie Howser. It was a guy, I don't know how old he was, but he certainly wasn't old enough to be a doctor. He asked me 20 questions, and he only had the ability to read them. He certainly didn't know anything else other than reading.
Did he tell
questions.
You to count backwards?
No, he didn't.
You know, that's one of the signatures of the examination, count backwards, really?
Right. But you know what? I think that they should have a law. You know, you think back to the atomic bomb, you know, 1945 and the testing of that and people not knowing, just viewing it, the testing of the bomb, and that they were exposed to radiation and the harm it could be done. Or Agent Orange, we didn't know, you know, I was there too. And I remember coming upon fields sometimes and it looked like somebody had cut the grass or something, because there was new grass sprouting. And I said, I wonder why that – there's nobody out here with a lawnmower. But you could see the old grass and then the new grass trying to grow because it had been killed by Agent Orange, I guess. But you didn't know about it. Right. Now there's soldiers in harm's way. There could be other chemicals and things that they're being exposed to that they've hidden these soldiers.
Sure. Yeah.
There should be something to let soldiers know, or people, soldiers, whomever in the military, they're being exposed to something that could be harmful to them.
Well,
and there should be some type of law to say, You know, you have to let people know what they're getting right. into.
Yeah, we had no idea. Being exposed, as you say, Consular, being exposed to things such as the commander in chief.
Yeah. But, you had no idea. I didn't know anything about Agent Orange when I was there.
Sure. We never did. No. But think about this. And, Doctor, I'd like to comment on this. Mm-hmm. Think about when we started in the Middle East with Saddam Hussein. And those and those fires that were started in the oil rigs and things like that, and that black smoke billowing all over the place. What the heck was in that smoke?
Exactly.
Well, that's exactly. Those are petroleum-based compounds, and many of them are already known to be things that are cancer-causing agents. Mm-hmm. Those are well-established. If you go into any kind of occupational medicine directory, you'll find those names of those chemicals in there. Not only that, but a lot of people, I take exception with people when they say, well, there were no weapons of mass destruction over there. Bull crap. He was using chemical agents against his own people.
Right.
Syria was a good example where they had weapons of mass destruction. Those are chemical agents. We're not sure if they even had biological agents they were releasing. We're not even sure if they even had some kind of dirty bombs with nuclear exposure. Sure. But they had burn pits throughout those environments. They were blowing the smoke into our encampment areas, into our FOBs. And so who knows what you were really exposed to in the dust and the particulate matter that was in the air all the time. You can't tell me that we weren't exposed to certain things that were in the air in that region. Sure. You're starting to see more papers come out in the scientific literature that's saying that these exposures did occur and that there are people who do have lung involvement because of that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems like it goes to anytime we have, any kind of advancement in technology and experiments in warfare, even in building construction, for example. When we had the World Trade Center collapse, we had people, first responders, who were getting sick from the residue that was in the building materials.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is so tragic is that one thing I don't understand, when you join the military and you do what you're supposed to do in the military to come out, you have to fight to get your benefits. It's always a struggle and a battle to get your benefits, and that leads to groups like yours, the DAV, where we need groups like yours in order to get benefits, to figure out how to navigate the system.
Let's take a caller. Jay, hi, you're on WVON, America's Heroes Group.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say
Jay.
Being in the military in general exposes you to eye-opening things, danger. And some people that just can't even take boot camp, and even after they pass boot camp, they can't even get past that. I had to help somebody get out the Navy, a white girl. She couldn't handle it. It was too overwhelming for her. I understood that. I've seen black men couldn't even open their mouth when they got to the ship, and they see how everything is. Everything is close quarters, And then if you get hurt, and you can get hurt, you don't have to be in a war. I got hurt.
That's true. You're right.
I'm just saying, you got to understand, being in the military is eye-opening. Not only is it eye-opening, it exposes you to a lot of things that you don't forget, whether you get hurt or not. It changes your thinking. It changes your person.
Yeah,
I just wanted to say that.
I think all of us would agree with that. Just hope that in most instances, Jay, the change is a positive one. But in situations,
it could be positive. You gotta be close to your family. And if you're not close to your family, and that's one.
Yeah, I got you. All right, thank you for your call, Jay.
But that's I was a platoon sergeant for 3 cycles of basic training. Mm-hmm. And part of your job, though, is to take and this is after I returned from Vietnam, but part of and I was at Fort Dix, and part of your job is to convert that person from civilian mentality into a military mentality, because they're going, that 1969, they were on their way to Vietnam.
Right.
And so you couldn't take a civilian and put him in, you had to have that type of training that changes your mentation, your mentality. And that's necessary,
what basic
though.
Is about.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. Basic AIT. You have to do that, though, in order to put a person in harm's way to take orders, to do whatever, to fight a war. Because you can't take a civilian and put him in combat.
Right. That's why a lot of them don't make it through.
Yeah.
There was a study.
Well,
done.
I'm not sure of that, Consuelo. The streets in Chicago.
But you know what? You put some of those in a real situation, they won't be so.
That's true.
Brave,
that's
right. You know,
some of those punks out there. That, but I'm talking those, about the fact that all those shooting guys. Right. But you're right.
Take some of those punks and you put them in a real situation. See how brave they are.
To support your statement about training,
right?
I read an article. The study was done after the Civil War. And they found weapons on the fighting area that were loaded, hadn't been fired. And they went through to figure it out, and these were some military soldiers that couldn't pull the trigger. And so even though they were in harm's way, and so one of the things that the Army did was said, now we've got to do just exactly what you said. Take that civilian and turn him into a different person than what he came in. And I can tell you from Bob's experience, I fired a .22 one time at a sporting goods show before I got into basic training. So they had a lot of work to do with me. I'm playing that right now.
But you know, when you look at the mentality, for instance, when you think of kamikaze pilots, you know, I mean, they knew.
Right. Oh, for sure.
We used to have that story about the they're on the carrier deck, and the gentleman is telling them, the commander, how it's going to be great to die for the land of the rising sun and the emperor. And one lieutenant raises his hand, and commander says, "Yes, your question. Will you be leading the raid?" He said, "Are you out your effing mind?" But those folks did that. That's it. Yeah. Anyway,
Cliff, I've got something for you.
Yeah, please.
A couple things that we're going to do this year in 2019.
Great.
The first thing is really not open to the public, but it's FYI so you know. On February 11th, several of the veteran groups in Northwest Indiana are going to go to Indianapolis and visit at the State House so that the state politicians can see the power of the veteran community in Indiana. And there are some agenda items that come up every year that have a direct impact on us. And so when they can see the numbers of people that are concerned about these issues, maybe they'll think twice. The second thing that we do as a chapter here in Northwest Indiana, we have a walk. That walk will be Saturday the 18th of May at Wicker Park in Highland, Indiana. And we bring veterans and family members and things like that to call attention to what our activities are in Northwest Indiana. And the last thing that I'll bring up is on June 1st, and we'll talk about this afterwards, but there is a triathlon in Wolf Lake.
You're doing a lot. Yeah.
And that triathlon is put on by, well, it's called Leon's Triathlon. It's been going on for a long time, but it has morphed. It's a short triathlon compared to the ones we know about and see in Hawaii and places like that. But there are a large number of disabled veterans that participate in that.
That's beautiful.
And have a partner swimming with them. They're running their wheelchairs while people are running, and handicapped of all sorts. And it's growing and growing in the veteran community to participate in this, to realize just because you have a severe wound, your life doesn't stop.
That's right.
And now it's expanded to police and fire departments. And the handicap part of this is getting bigger and bigger. And so when we're done today, I'll talk to you about this, and maybe we can get Leon in here sometime for you.
That'd be great.
He's a second generation running this, and he's a different person, but he has enthusiasm like you just can't believe.
That's wonderful. Wow. You're doing a fantastic job out there. That's just great.
Any questions or concerns regarding affordable housing, social service, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250. We thank you for watching us on Facebook Live. Make sure you hit the Facebook like button at the top of our Facebook page. Therefore, you stay connected and will receive future notifications regarding shows, events, information regarding our veterans, armed forces, and their family members. We're so grateful to our partner, Miss Dorothy Lavelle of the Chicago Crusaders. And you can read the Chicago Crusader articles on veterans, armed forces, and their family members online at www.chicagocrusader.com. To subscribe to the Chicago Crusaders weekly column, Voices with Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group, call Chicago Crusader at 773-752-2500 or send an email to ads@chicagocrusader.com to request a subscription.
And thanks to our technical producer, Isaac Taylor.
Isaac.
Yeah, Isaac, thanks so much.
Hey,
everybody.
Have a blessed weekend, America's Heroes Group.